Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
What an interesting day it is today. My gosh, I'm looking at Twitter here and I see the top trends on Twitter at the moment are Merriongate Zipponism. That's the best hashtag I've heard. And hashtag Golfgate is back there again. Of course, you all remember Golfgate from August last year. Now, of course, we will be talking about that in a few minutes. I also want to talk as well. A new report has called for clarity on the relationship between the government and NPHET and how key pandemic decisions were actually made. This is a new study, by the way, by Trinity College. And we will be talking a little bit later on to the people who put that report together in relation to that relationship. And the decisions made by NPHET. In other words, NPHET are a body of people who are there to make decisions based on health, and it's then up to the government to interpret those decisions and to decide what is in the best interest of the people, whether to run with the decisions made by NPHET or indeed to consider other factors as well when it comes to the pandemic. In other words, and how it affects people's lives and how lockdowns or how, for example, decisions made by NPHET affect people's lives indirectly. And those decisions have to be made by government. And it looks like certainly those decisions weren't made properly, according to this particular report, that maybe NPHET had too much power. We get around to that a little bit later on. I also want to talk about your body. Yeah, and I had a bit of an issue the other night because I seen Tom Cruise. He's now nearly 60 years of age, 59, and I'm looking at him going, why does he look like a 25-year-old? And why don't I look like that? But according to research, most of us at the age of 60, which I'm getting close to it, are reasonably happy with our bodies. But do we feel a societal pressure to look a certain way? We get around to talking about that later on. But first, of course, the big story of the day. Catherine Zappone has defended a private outdoor function she hosted with some 50 friends and former colleagues, including Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, 2 weeks ago. The function at the Merrion Hotel in Dublin was held 6 days before Ms. Zappone was controversially appointed to the €15,000 a year job as a special envoy without any open competition for the job. So obviously Catherine Zappone's name has been in the news quite a lot over the last 2 days. Now, under the current Fáilte Ireland guidelines, and I want you to bear with me while I read this out to you, because it is important that we understand exactly what is going on or what went wrong here. Under the Fáilte Ireland guidelines, organised events, whether indoor or outdoor, are not permitted unless they are weddings or non-social meetings, training and educational programmes considered essential to the operation of business. In other words, a conference would be fine. Up to 50 people, of course. At that point, if you want to do it outdoors, it's up to 200 people. In a statement to RT News, Ms. Zappone said, please contact the Merrion Hotel for their statement regarding compliance with government COVID-19 restrictions and guidelines for my private event. Prior to the organising the event, I inquired and was assured by the Merrion Hotel that the event would be in compliance with the government COVID-19 restrictions and guidelines. This is kind of sounding familiar, isn't it? We kind of had these statements when Golfgate was around. But anyway, in a statement, the Merrion Hotel said, at all times since the start of the pandemic, we have adhered to the government public health measures, including the relevant guidelines that were in place at the time of the event, your reference on July the 21st. These have since been updated on July the 23rd. Government regulations at the time allowed for outdoor events of up to 200 people, and the definition of that includes social events, which seemingly, according to Fáilte Ireland, doesn't, but however. The upper limit still applies, except now indoor events in hotels are excluded per government guidelines published by Fáilte Ireland. Now, around 50 guests were seated separately at tables of six in the Merrion Hotel's garden terrace, according to the Irish Independent. Now, that confuses me too, because they say around 50. Was there 48? Was there 65? We don't actually really know. And who was there? And, you know, if you're in government, surely you should set a standard higher than those that you make the rules for, isn't that? You know what I mean? Because I'll be honest with you, when I watched Boris Johnson 2 weeks ago at the UEFA final, I said to myself, although it's allowed, there were 65 or 70,000 people there, if I was the Prime Minister of the country, I'd probably take a bit of a rain check on it. Because I'm the one telling other people, although we don't have laws anymore on Freedom Day in the UK, I would be saying, you know, I'm advising other people to still do certain things and use common sense. Maybe I shouldn't be there. And, you know, that was a bit of a failing, I believe, in Boris Johnson's behalf. Now, he didn't resign over it, obviously. The government's hospitality rules do not permit customers to book multiple tables in restaurants, pubs or hotels. In other words, you, as a citizen of the country at the moment, are not allowed to book a private function unless it's a wedding. And at the moment, it's still 50 people until tomorrow, when it has now been increased to 100 people. Mrs. Bowen's party in the luxury five-star Dublin hotel was attended by friends, civil servants and politicians. The Fáilte Ireland guidelines say a maximum of 6 people over the age of 13 are permitted at a table. There is no distinction made between indoor and outdoor dining in the rules on table numbers. And the guidelines for pubs and restaurants include a section organised outdoor events stroke gatherings. This section says a max of 200 attendees can attend the majority of venues. A limit of up to 500 people is in place where venues capacity is greater than 5,000. So that particular guideline or advisory is in relation to large events. It's in relation to football matches or, you know, an event where there might be a band playing, for example, where people are seated. I mean, we've seen some of those over the last 2 weeks of the good weather where people are seated at 6 in outdoor events in big fields, for example, and they all have to wear masks when they move around, etc., etc. It doesn't cover a private function in a hotel, and there is nowhere in the definition that even alludes to that. But anyway, when the rules on outdoor gatherings were first introduced, similar figures were stated for sports events and outdoor concert, and it is unclear why they are in the guidelines. A hospitality industry source involved in the talks about reopening the sector said at no point was it suggested that hotels, restaurants and pubs could host large social gatherings outdoors. That was never a thing, and that's what, of course, the Merion are stating was a thing. It is understood the Taoiseach contacted the hotel to check whether the event was in line with government guidelines for the hospitality sector prior to attending the event. I want to ask you today, do you believe that Leo Varadkar, at this point now, this seems to be something that's unclear for the moment? Although we did have somebody for Fine Gael to come on the air earlier on, they have pulled out of the interview. I have no idea why. I don't know whether they're defending it or defending Leo Varadkar or whether they're not defending it. But anyway, this smells of Golfgate. Now, Padraig Tobin from Aintu has said this behaviour is a jaw-dropping mix of hypocrisy and cronyism. And he joins me on the line. Padraig, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
Padraig, a lot of people fell on their sword in Golfgate. The Agriculture Minister, EU Trade Minister Phil Hogan, broadcaster Sean O'Rourke. And at the time, I have a quote here from Leo Varadkar himself, who said, ultimately, nobody in government wanted to lose a cabinet member or commissioner or anyone else, and this all could have been avoided if those involved had obeyed our laws and followed public health guidelines and rules and regulations. That was at the heart of this. In other words, his own quote says that people obviously should be, you know, subject to the guidelines, no matter who they are.
Absolutely. Listen, the background, the context of this is that right now, many partners are not allowed to attend births of their children to give support to their partners in maternity hospitals. We have children around the country who are being denied First Holy Communions and confirmations. Funerals and weddings are restricted. The hospitality sector is still restricted. It has severe controls and curbs in place, and many of them haven't been able to open. And then we have, obviously, thousands, hundreds of thousands of young people who are being discriminated against because they haven't had a vaccine as of yet. And the governments are coming down very hard on these people. They're making all sorts of pronouncements against these people. And yet, the Taoiseach of the country sees fit to attend a social event with 50 guests organised by Catherine Zappone in the week prior to gifting his friend a job without any interview whatsoever. So, you know, for me, it's the mix of hypocrisy and cronyism here by the ruling elite, telling the citizens, do as I say, but not as I do.
Now, he will argue, now, of course, we haven't really heard from him yet in relation to this, although they will say that they haven't broken any guidelines. He will argue the interpretation or the hotel's interpretation and their interpretation of the guidelines were that this was an allowable event. I don't see that because according to Bord Fáilte, or Fáilte Ireland, should I say, as they're now called, according to Fáilte Ireland, it's not allowable. That those particular set of guidelines in regards to outdoor events were, you know, for particular things like training and educational programmes, or indeed if it was a larger event in relation to football matches or, you know, a music event which was organised and properly organised. So they won't agree with him, but he will say that this was an allowable event. But I suppose your argument is these are people who are making the rules, so they need to be set a higher standard. Is that the point?
Well, first of all, the idea that a Taoiseach that would ring a hotel and ask a hotel is an event adhering to his own legislation or his own guidelines is bananas. It's kind of like you asking somebody, you know what I mean, is you know, a situation that is being carried out, is it being carried out to the way that I would like it? You know, the tánaiste should know what the rule is because the tánaiste is implementing the rule. And actually, if it is as clear as mud, as if the tánaiste is trying to point to now, it gives, I suppose, truth to what the Irish Council of Civil Liberties were saying, that you know there's a whole range of legislation and guidelines put in place over the last year and a half, which are really confusing to citizens, which are being implemented unevenly and have been adhered to unevenly. And that's bad governance in its own right.
Well, I mean, okay, the point you said that he had to ring the hotel or maybe get his PA to ring the hotel in this particular case to find out what was actually happening and if the event complied with board voucher guidelines and the government guidelines, to me in itself raises alarm bells because then he must have had some level of concern about it. But he did say after Golfgate, and I'm quoting him here, we shouldn't forget why this has become an issue of such enormous public controversy and anger. It is because people felt that those in high office, those who make the rules, were not following them. That's his own quotation after August, after Golfgate, when a lot of people had to fall on their sword. So are you suggesting that the tánaiste should step down as tánaiste, obviously keeping his position as leader of Fine Gael and his TD position, but are you suggesting he should step down as tánaiste?
Well, absolutely. I think there's a clear precedent here. Phil Hogan and Dara Cleary were made fall on their own swords when they broke the COVID guidelines.
Well, not just them. You had Paddy Burke, John Cummins, Jerry Buttermer. There was a list of people.
Absolutely.
Seamus Wolfe, of course, was asked to step down as well. So you had a list of people who were asked to step down.
Three senators were lost the Fine Gael whip as a result. There's an investigation. There's TDs at the moment going in front of the court in October in relation to Golfgate. A significant investigation was carried out. Now, either the laws that pertain to these elected representatives are the same laws as the tánaiste should adhere to, or the same guidelines that the tánaiste should adhere to, or the tánaiste just operates under different rules.
But he would say he was within the guidelines, it wasn't more than 50 people, although they're using the word around 50 people. Now, of course, as of yet, we don't know who else was at the event. I'm sure that will emerge later on as the day goes on. But he would say that it was within the guidelines, that as far as he was concerned, the hotel believed that this was within the guidelines. And the Merion Hotel, of course, is a very reputable hotel. They will say they adhered to the guidelines, which they're claiming they did. But I'm looking at the guidelines and it doesn't seem to fit in with the guidelines.
Well, Aintu is calling for the tánaiste to come out publicly and detail exactly what happened on that date, because if you look at the whole Zapon crisis, you know, there's been small bits of information that's either been leaked to the public or has come out very, very slowly. And it seems to me, again, that the tánaiste is managing this information in a way to try and survive.
Are we setting too high a standard? I mean, Paddy, for example, if I look back at you in the last year, you know, would I set too high a standard for Paddy Tobin? Because Paddy Tobin, you know, is a TD. So are you conscious of the fact, as a TD, that you have to set a higher standard?
Well, there's two things here. First of all, this is the standard that's been set by Leo Varadkar himself. Leo Varadkar has stated himself that certain politicians should stand down from their elected roles as a result of not obeying the guidelines. You know, we have a situation previously where Leo Varadkar leaked a confidential report to a friend of his, a significant report. There was a massive crisis around it. People will remember this. But again, the tánaiste refused to abide by the rules in that occasion. And, you know, it's interesting because we have a situation now where the tánaiste is investigating a senior cabinet minister at cabinet for leaking the Zapon story. The irony of, Leo Varadkar, who was caught red-handed leaking a confidential document to a friend who's a doctor, now investigating another cabinet minister in relation to the leaking of this information around Catherine Zapon. The truth of the matter is if leaders of political parties and the tánaiste and the Taoiseach don't abide by the rules, they can't expect anybody else to. There's a battle at the moment happening where, you know, the Minister for Health is giving out to people who want to have their children confirmed or go through a first Holy Communion. How in the name of God can you stop a family of six going for a meal after first Holy Communion when the tarnished of the country can go for, you know, a social event with up to 50 people with a friend? It does not make sense.
Okay,
it is the definition of hypocrisy.
Potter, do you think he will survive this one? Because, I mean, he survived many other things. People have described him as almost being like Teflon at this stage.
Well, I think he will survive on the basis of whether or not Fianna Fáil stand up for themselves. Fianna Fáil have had, you know, the ground taken from under them. They've had the wool pulled over their eyes a number of times Like last week, we had the Taoiseach, or the Taoiseach, say that, you know, a decision was brought before Cabinet and he was blindsided, that he wasn't told anything about it. Yet, he rolled over, rubber-stamped it, and allowed it to go ahead. So, like, you know, the reason why Leo Varadkar is able to get away with some of these things is because both the Green Party and Fianna Fáil are abdicating from their responsibility as being watchdogs to hold people accountable. And that's what's wrong with the political establishment. Nobody's held accountable. And if nobody's held accountable, nothing ever changes. You know, personally, I believe that many of the restrictions that the government have imposed over the last 6 months have been OTT. I think a lot of these restrictions...
Well, we will be talking about that later on, of course, because Trinity College have just brought out a report and we will be discussing that later on with Trinity College in relation to the port and the role that NPHET has played over the last year and a half. And of course, they're obviously saying that there's a lack of accountability with some of those decisions that NPHET have made. Well, so we will be talking about that later on. But in the interim, that you think that... Do you think Leah will still be with us as Taoiseach by this time next week?
I think I'd be surprised if he survives 10 days and in his position as Taoiseach, because it is so black and white and clear in relation to what he told Phil Hogan and Dara Cleary to do. It's so black and white that he took the whip off three Fine Gael senators for doing exactly as he has done now. And if he doesn't stand down, it is a massive injustice to the role, and it shows hypocrisy is alive and well in the Irish government.
OK, listen, thank you very much indeed. Pat O'Tobin from In2, thanks for joining us today. All right, as I said, we did have somebody from Fine Gael to talk and obviously maybe defend Leo Varadkar in his position and his decisions that he made regarding this particular event, but they have declined now to come on the air. I have no understanding as to why. Anyway, a lot of people have an opinion on it, but here's the question. Is it unfair to ask him to step down? Is it unfair to ask Leo Varadkar to be accountable in this particular situation? After all, it was an event with 50 people, he's claiming. Well, they said around 50. Now, we don't know whether it was 48 or 65. We don't know exactly, but it's clear that there's an interpretation of guidelines. And everything that we are doing at the moment, you know, there's an interpretation of guidelines. When we talked yesterday about confirmations and communions, yes, you can have 100 people from tomorrow at a wedding, but you can't have a confirmation or communion because the interpretation is that that type of event doesn't fit in with the guidelines. It doesn't fit in with the government advice. It's not illegal, but doesn't fit in with government advice. Most of these things that we see happening are not illegal. They don't fall under the legislation. In other words, they are Bord Fáilte, because of course that was the original name for them. Fáilte Ireland's guidelines. So Fáilte Ireland have a set of guidelines. And under those guidelines, for clarity again, let me give you two. The Merion Hotel said at all times since the start of the pandemic they've adhered to the government public health measures, including the relevant guidelines that were in place at the time. Now, you have to remember the guidelines changed on July the 23rd. This event happened before they changed on July the 21st. The government regulations at the time allowed for outdoor events of up to 200 people. But let's clarify that, because under the current Fáilte Ireland guidelines, organised events, whether indoor or outdoor, are not permitted unless they are weddings or non-social meetings, training and educational programmes considered essential to the operation of business. So, a private event is not covered under the guidelines. In other words, if you want to book a 21st party for your daughter tomorrow and you ring up a hotel, they're not allowed to take the booking if you want to have 50 or 100 people or whatever it is at it. Because it's not covered under the guidelines as non-social meetings, training and educational programmes considered essential to the operation of business. In other words, a get-together with a few drinks is not allowed under the guidelines. Now, you could probably sort it out yourself and arrange for people to meet at a hotel or an outdoor event, as long as, you know, there's more than six people at a table, etc., etc., as long as the hotel doesn't do it in that particular manner. But under the guidelines, and they are guidelines, not laws, under the guidelines, that is not allowed at the moment. But it happened. Now, I don't know whether Leo Varadkar will come out today and say that this is a conference or a professional event rather than a social event. Maybe he will come out and say that. Maybe that's the excuse that he'll give. But what we're doing, I suppose, is interpreting something and maybe overanalyzing it because they're politicians, as we did with Golfgate, by the way. It was overanalyzed because they are politicians. They are the ones who are making the rules. And people say that when you make the rules, you must set a higher standard for yourself. But is that true? And is that unfair? Maybe you think it's unfair. Maybe you think, lads, for God's sake, it was just an event of 50 people. Sure, I went to an event last week and there was 45 people or 50 people at it. It's not a big deal. Should we all lose our jobs at it? No, we shouldn't. I mean, should Leo Varadkar have to step down as Taoiseach because of this particular event? Or do you believe that's too high a standard to set for somebody? After all, he is human. He just went to a party that a friend was having. In real terms, that's what it is, isn't it? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. If you would like to defend Leo Varagos, after all, now, let's be clear, there wasn't 200 or 300 people at this. They weren't all running around pissed out of their heads or anything like that. It wasn't some, you know, crazy meet, you know, party. It was 50 people in the Merrion Hotel, which has very high standards, let's be clear about that. And they have denied that they broke the rules. And they didn't break any laws. But Bord Fáilte has a strict set of guidelines currently at the moment. And the interpretation of that guideline suggests that this event shouldn't have happened. But let me know what you think. If you believe the event shouldn't have happened, should Leo Varadkar still be tarnished of the country? And next in line to be Taoiseach, by the way. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. If you would like to defend him and say that we're setting too high a standard, well and good, I accept your opinion and your statement. But if you believe that he should resign as tarnished as well, I would like to hear from you too. The number is 087-188-0008. Now, as of yet, we don't have a statement from Leo Varadkar in relation to it, apart from the fact that he did say that he did check or get his PA to check that the event fitted in with Bord Fáilte guidelines. Philip, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, Philip?
Hi, Niall. How are you getting on?
Good. Philip, well, I suppose you can't make these stories up, really, can you? You know what I mean? I mean, they just... I mean, they draw attention to themselves, really. But, I mean, what should happen now?
Look, I honestly think this should have happened a long time ago. There should be an investigation. We should call a halt to everything going on and investigate what has gone on in the last few months. Now, I see that there's this story about the lawyers saying there's a bit of a strange conflict of interest between NPHET and the government.
Well,
so,
we will be talking to Trinity College later on about that. Anyway, that particular report into, you know, the relationship and the transparency on how decisions are actually being made by NPHET.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look, I mean, they have spent the last, let's be honest now, nearly 2 years basically peddling the same story of fear.
When you say it's a story of fear, you have to be clear, Philip. You know, people have died of COVID-19. And yes,
definitely,
we do need to take steps to make sure other people don't die. But of course, NPHET are there to do a job. It's the government's job then to interpret those, you know, I suppose, that information that NPHET will impart to them and look at, you know, not only the physical health, but also the emotional, the social and the mental health of the state and take that into consideration too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think from this story, what we're seeing is that they don't believe the narrative they have been basically saying to the Irish people for
you're talking about Leo Varadkar and his decision to attend this event.
Exactly, yeah. And then that's before you even look at, okay, the Catherine Zappone appointment. So she has been given this position without, you know...
through cronyism,
basically,
yes.
Yeah, posting the position. So overall, with the story you're going to talk about later on with the lawyers from Trinity College and the appointment of Catherine Zappone and the fact that they're basically have been pushing this, you know... And like you said, Noel, I agree, there is a certain risk associated with it. But, you know, we've been treating this like the new Ebola for the last 2 years, and we've seen the effects on people's mental makeup. So I think when you combine everything together, it doesn't make for a very good picture. And I think there should be some sort of formal investigation into the government, into NPHET, and into these events that have been going on.
Well, they have suggested in the UK in the summer of 2023 there will be a full inquiry as to how SAGE, for example, which is their version of NPHET, you know, came to decisions and decisions were made by the UK government, which is fair.
I just want to know, Noel, about this modelling. They've said hundreds and thousands of cases in a month. They talked about basically hundreds and thousands of deaths, tens of thousands. I want to know what that was based on.
Okay, well, I'm sure that will all become apparent, and hopefully it will all, and because transparency is extremely important when we live in a democratic society. But getting back to this particular event, there is no doubt that the Merrion Hotel is a very reputable hotel. There is no doubt that they believed that this was within the government guidelines and within the guidelines set down by Fáilte Ireland. But seemingly, according to Fáilte Ireland, you know, and from what I'm reading from the guidelines, it doesn't fit in with the guidelines. So, Leo Varadkar calls up or gets his PA to call up and say, listen, I've been invited to an event there today. There's around 50. That concerns me, by the way, the word, the term around 50. We don't know if it's 48 or 65, but around 50, before the guidelines were changed, by the way, in 23rd July, which didn't allow anything over 50, even for a wedding. And he's told, well, it does fit in with the guidelines. I suppose he goes there in all innocence. But then, is that the case? Are we being unfair to him?
Well, I think I'm getting a bit blue in the face of hearing Leo Varadkar and his PA in the same story. I mean, the fact that, like you said yourself, Niall, he asked his PA to check up.
Or he checked himself. I'm assuming it's his PA did it for him.
Yeah, exactly. From what we know so far, that's an air of doubt on the story already.
So you're saying if you're in a position as a leader that you have to check something, well, then maybe you shouldn't do it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so. Like, and especially given the sacrifices everybody has made over the last year, you know, it just smacks of, like you said, Golfgate again is trending, and I mean, I think that tells you everything you need to know about what most people think about this. It's cronyism. It's this sort of, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. These meetings taking place in hotels, you know, these fancy hotels, and you know, it's.
I think if it wasn't for Golfgate, maybe he would escape this one fairly unscathed. But his own quote after Golfgate said, "We shouldn't forget why this has become an issue of such enormous public controversy and anger. It's because people felt that those in high office, those who make the rules, were not following them."
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a quotation from Leo Varadkar after Golfgate.
Like, Leo Varadkar is he's trying to play both sides, where he can try and get away with doing the things he's criticising. And then also, on the other hand, what people, I think, need to think about more is Leo Varadkar doesn't like free speech. He always comes out against people who are criticising him or pointing out flaws with their relationship with NSET, as, you know, these sort of far-right protesters. And basically, he's trying to treat what's going on now as political theatre.
And we're not overreacting to this today. Look, it's an opportunity for the opposition, including Sinn Féin and Powder Tobin, who was on with us a few minutes ago, obviously to have a go at the government. That's their job, to have a go at the government and oppose the government. You don't believe it's making it too easy? In other words, maybe there's a bit of an overreaction to it.
I think if our government hadn't have been, you know, keeping husbands away from going to their screenings, miscarriages, and, you know, stopping confirmation.
Well, our government are not. Well, let's be clear. Yeah. The government they've been quite clear in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and HSE have been quite clear about this, that that's not their decision. That was hospital policy. They said that they didn't bring in that guideline doesn't exist at the moment. So they're saying they're quite happy to see husbands going in when wives are being given or partners are being given bad news in relation to pregnancy. So they believe that that's acceptable, but according to the hospital policies, they're saying. So it's not that within their remit.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, definitely. Like, I suppose that's a whole rabbit hole to go down. But yeah, I think in the context of what they've been saying and what they've been preaching, people are definitely, there's definitely a lot of, you know, hate to be made out of this, because, like they're not practicing what they preach. If they had been for the last couple of months saying, you know what, have a garden party, you know, as long as it's with close contacts, you know, but instead, basically up until May, April, it has been stay at home, don't go see loved ones, funerals are limited.
Don't gather in large groups.
Yeah, so in the context of what they've been preaching.
The advice, they've been given, yes.
The advice, exactly, yeah.
Okay, well, do me a favour, just stay there for a second, Philip, if you can. Louise, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. Louise, do as we say, not as we do, I suppose, is what everybody is saying this morning, but are we overreacting slightly to what was an event with 50 people?
No, I don't think you're overreacting whatsoever. I think it's an absolute disgrace they've stopped the communions and confirmations. I mean, people have gone out and they've spent a fortune on clothes, preparations for it. Nobody wants to have a big party. Everybody wants to keep safe, keep their children safe, most importantly. Have a family meal. And I want the confirmation over in Dunwich before my child goes into secondary school. And I think Micheál Martin is totally in the wrong, and Leo Varadkar. And exactly what they're saying, I feel they're a bunch of crones.
Okay, so you believe they're telling us to do one thing, but then they'll go off and do something else themselves.
Yeah.
Well, not obviously Micheál Martin. There's no suggestion Micheál Martin was at this particular event, by the way. It was Leo Varadkar, obviously.
Yeah, but Micheál Martin, you know, had said to the bishop, he didn't want the confirmation to go on. He wasn't happy about it. It's not to go on. And it's ridiculous. It's one rule for them and one rule for us. You know, if they're going to put out these rules and regulations, they need to start abiding by them themselves, or else basically don't have any rules.
But they'll argue, he'll argue that they were, well, Leo Varadkar is arguing that he did abide by the rules, and that the rules, and the Merrion Hotel said they felt they were abiding by the rules, but under the Bord Fáilte-Rath guidelines, it doesn't seem that they are abiding by the rules.
No, they're not abiding by the rules. I really think the whole lot of them are a bunch of cronies, and they make up, you turn around now and say, oh, well, you know, this was needed, this meeting was needed. It wasn't needed whatsoever.
It was, no, it was clearly a party.
It was clearly a party, and everybody in Ireland knows that.
And it was a party with suspicious kind of outcome.
But I don't know whether they'll come out today, whether government are going to come out today and say that this was considered to be a conference, because conferences would be allowed with that type of gathering. But even at that, mind you, there is a restriction to six to a table, et cetera, et cetera. But they may say it was some sort of necessary conference. I can't see how that was the case. Not with alcohol present.
I totally disagree with them. I honestly think it's a load of rubbish at this stage.
They'll bend and break the rules as close as they can at any given opportunity. I mean, even just from the terms of leadership, that's bad. Don't get me wrong.
I have a job here of impartiality, right? And obviously to give the benefit of the doubt, you know, in some way to what has happened. But it's very difficult. And when I listen to Louise talking about a communion confirmation, and I listen to you, Philip, talking about, you know, a partner who I've spoken to many throughout the years, who, you know, sat outside in a car while their wife or partner was given bad news in a hospital during a pregnancy. And then I see, you know, Leo Varadkar saying, well, I assumed this event was okay. I rang up the hotel. I mean, to me, you know, if you have to ring up and check, and you're the leader of a country, or you're second in command, as the case would be, and will be the leader again very shortly. You know, if you're in doubt, just don't do it, I suppose, is the answer, isn't it?
Exactly.
But he did. Exactly. But he did.
Set a standard. That's your the very basic functions of a leader. Set a good stand, a good moral standard, a good ethical standard. They do none of that. Like even look at housing. One hand they're talking about housing, the other hand they're talking about, you know, stamp duty loopholes for these cuckoo funds. They're a bunch of crooks. Like that it's the same story repeating itself again and again with Fianna Fáil and Fianna
Well, Gale. I know you've no faith in the government, Philip. I can hear that
clearly.
I can clearly hear that. Clearly hear that. Yeah. But in saying that, you know, we have to be fair too. And they are human beings, you know. But the number is 087-188-0008. Let me just go to Dave. Oh, hold on, I just switch you on here, Dave. Hold on for a second. By the way, I would like to take your call as well. If you feel that maybe it's an overreaction by the media in relation to this particular event that was attended to by Leo Varadkar, Catherine Zappone, and many other senior government officials, probably civil servants. Now, as of yet, we don't know who else was there. But I'm pretty sure before the end of the day, there will be a table list of exactly who was there. Maybe more heads will roll. Dave, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, Dave?
How you doing, Niall?
Dave, I mean, is it an overreaction by many people to say, oh, he should resign, he should step down? Pádraig Tobin believes that he lasts 10 days, then he should resign as a tarnished.
Well, it's not that he should resign, he should be sacked.
So you believe that Micheál Martin should step in and ask for his resignation?
Yes, he should. Because he shouldn't ask for his resignation. He should sack him. Like, he should be gone. No golden handshake. No big pension. Sack him. He should have been sacked.
Is that not an overreaction? Dave, can you honestly tell me throughout the last year and a half that you haven't broken any guidelines?
I didn't say I haven't.
Okay, but so...
I haven't been allowed to any events. I haven't been allowed indoors to any events. It just hasn't happened because it wasn't available to happen.
At this particular time, there was indoor, you could have events indoors within reason. Now, you weren't allowed, obviously, have private functions where alcohol was.
This is the thing. It was a private function. No matter what they say it was a private function.
He may say it was a non-social meeting.
The high-paid position he's in, but he's lying through his teeth. Even if he goes,
well, he hasn't made a statement yet in relation to it, okay? So let's not go down that route. He hasn't made a statement yet in relation to it, apart from the fact that he did say that he checked to make sure that it was covered under the government guidelines.
This is my next point. Even if he checked, do you not think somebody in his position, if he got there, he should realise himself by looking at the room saying, oh, there's too many people here, I shouldn't be seen here, I won't be seen here, and he should leave?
I mean, yes, that's the argument that, you know, if it was some Mickey Mouse hotel in the middle of nowhere where he might not have been seen, you could kind of argue, well, Marshall, nobody will even notice. But, you know, we're talking the Marion Hotel here.
Yeah,
surely exactly. He would have realised the staff, somebody, a member of staff would have said, well, hold on, this event probably doesn't make a huge amount of sense.
Well, the way things are now with social media, everything is out instantly. It's not like years ago they could hide. There was no such thing as phones and stuff. Everybody has something.
Well, for that reason alone, then, do you not think that he thought it was okay?
No, not really, because they've been giving two fingers up to everybody and doing.
So you believe that's what it is? It's a case of, you know, I can kind of pretty much do what I want.
Yes, that's exactly it. Him, Micheál Martin, all the rest of them—they've been doing exactly what they want. Telling us to do one thing, they do another. They just don't give they don't care. It's two fingers up to the public all the time. And it's what are you going to do about attitude?
Okay. Well, look, I'm running out of time. I have to go into a break. All right, so you believe it's this kind of cronyism and this idea that they'll never be accountable or won't be accountable, but surely they would have learned from Golfgate when so many actually had to fall on their sword and Leo Varadkar himself was the one who made sure that happened, of course, and said it had to happen. The number is 087-188-0008.
Oh, what a load of twaddle. And twaddle's not a bad word. Listen, there's people out there, I see them every day of the week on the streets, in the parks, on football grounds, or all over the place, acting the maggot and breaking every guideline going. I mean, we don't live in a perfect society, and that's the way it is. But if they follow the guidelines, why the hell should a man lose his job? It doesn't matter who he is. I mean, it's absolute ridiculous. You know, all these, I won't say do-gooders, but whatever, going, pin them to the floor, or put them on the guillotine, you know what I mean? Don't be silly. Just get on with it. I mean, we're all trying to do our best, and that's the way it is. If you want to say, if you put down for people losing their jobs, there'd be no workers in the country, the way things are. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the people who call for this should grow up a small bit. Anyway, have a great day.
Well, there you go. And that is the opinion of some people, that maybe it's an overreaction. But see, then again, what I said, caller, what you're not thinking about is, you know, he's not just the average person. He is the person who's telling others to abide by the guidelines. He is the person who called for the resignation of other politicians who did exactly the same thing. Let me go to Richard. Richard, you're an Ireland's Classic Hits. How you doing, Richard?
Hi, Niall. I'm good, thanks.
Good. Now, you think it's kind of all blown a bit out of proportion. Do you think it is? Do you think it's a case of, oh, look, he was just going to a bloody party?
I don't think people are looking at the story rationally, you know. It's the misery merchants are at it again. It's another nothing burger of a story. Mm-hmm. People won't really look into the story too much or try to understand it. It's just anything to be outraged at the government, you know.
But isn't that what people do? When we've had such a miserable time, in fairness, over the last, you know, 18 months, and we've all been told to tighten our belts, we've all been told to follow government guidelines and government advice, not just legislation, but advisories, and then you see the people who are telling you to do that doing something a little bit different, that kind of angers people, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I was looking at the statement by the Marion Hotel. They said that we adhere to all the government public health measures, including the relevant guidelines that were in place at the time of the event you referenced on July 21st. These have since been updated on July 23rd. So I don't see where they did anything wrong.
Well, see, that's their interpretation. And by the way, I have no doubt that the Marion Hotel is a very reputable hotel and tried their best to follow the guidelines. But under the current Fáilte Ireland guidelines of organised events, whether indoor or outdoor, are not permitted unless they are weddings or non-social meetings, training and educational programmes considered essential to the operation of business. That doesn't allow for a party of 50 people having a hoo-ha.
Sure, but they're the current guidelines, you said, yes?
Yeah, and those guidelines would have been in place at that time.
On July 24th?
Yes, 6 days before right. And those guidelines, obviously, the guidelines were loosened somewhat, by the way. All the legislation and guidelines were loosened on the 23rd of July. But this wasn't on the 20th of July, this was on the 21st of July.
Well, maybe we need to wait for more facts to come to light then.
Unless Leo was going to say it was a conference, I find that difficult to understand, because I think he would have said that at this point. It would have been made very clear at this point that it was some sort of professional training or educational programme or non-social meeting. Now, they do allow, by the way, I'm just looking at the guidelines here. It says here, this is from the Marion Hotel as well, and The section in the guidelines suggests that, let me see, 200 attendees can attend a majority, the majority of venues. A limited 500 is in place for venues with a capacity of 5,000 or greater. But there's a the stipulation, the guidelines say that that was for particularly for outdoor events. Now, this is not an event. That's to cover things like football matches or maybe a gig, which we've had a few in the good weather, by the way, the gigs where you'll have, you know, 200 people sitting at tables of six in a field. Mm. That's to cover those kind of events. It wasn't designed for hotels.
Yeah, so this is what, 50 people outside, socially distanced?
Oh, look, you know, I personally don't have an issue with it. I couldn't care less. But the point is when you have, you know, the second in command in the country and to be the leader of the country again, as he has been before, making the rules, and only 2 weeks ago, by the way, saying that he didn't see weddings being extended to 100 people, and that makes it a hard pill for people to swallow, doesn't it?
I was listening to the opposition on earlier on, Toby, and sure, everything, he just has to raise people up and oppose everything that the government does, so they're going to blow it up into a big thing and get people riled up. It's just the usual nonsense. I'm sick of hearing it.
Okay, no, I get you. And so you think it's kind of out of proportion. But actually, do me a favour, stay there with me just for a second if you can, because Tommy, you join us as well on Ireland's Classic Hits. How you doing, Tommy?
How are you, Niall? Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Well, you've listened there to what, you know, Richard is saying. He's saying, let's be rational about this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was just an event with 50 people, maybe a going away party. I don't know what it was or what in particular it was. And maybe we're overreacting.
Well, I wouldn't think so in the slightest, no, because it might be a different issue, but my wife, God help her, has been in hospital for the last 30 and 14 weeks.
I'm sorry to hear that.
About a half, yes, thanks very much. About a half a mile down the road, and I live just up here in Cabra, and only as late as yesterday I was told I can't visit. Now, in the meantime, my daughter was also taken in for a minor operation last week. I had two of them in the same part of the hospital, one on each, on a different floor, and I'm told, sorry, you can't visit.
Okay.
Actually, they stop short of saying, but when you are told to visit, then it's time to start worrying. In other words, you know what I mean?
I understand, and I hope it's not like that. Jeepers, Tommy, I hope it's not as bad as that.
No, I know it's a different scenario, maybe, but it's just, it's I think that's...
And how is she herself with not having visitors? That must be very upsetting for her, too.
Well, it's very lonely.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I know nowadays, thankfully, we have a bit of technology that helps.
Yeah, well, she wouldn't be out fine now with video calls or anything like that. Right. Probably no more than yourself. I'm 70 years of age, you know, but...
Yeah, you don't sound it, Tommy. You don't come across in 70 years.
Some days I feel it.
And can I ask if it's not... I don't want to be intrusive, and if you don't want to answer any questions, of course, don't, but, you know, don't answer them. But is she all right? Well, is it serious?
Well, it's at the moment, it's not life-threatening, but...
Good. Well, that's the main thing, isn't it? Hopefully, it won't.
She's never going to be the same again. Type of COPD and a couple of other issues, like, you know.
Okay, so she may be on oxygen. She may be on oxygen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh well, I hope she makes a bit of recovery.
I think it's a bit rich when they won't start to look at these issues and say, "Well, hang on, maybe can we relax this a little here and there, like, you know."
Okay, so in other words, have some compassion when it comes to a situation like yours, or indeed, you know, husbands with pregnant wives, etc.
I don't expect able to march down there every day of the week willy-nilly, like, I mean. But I rang up yesterday and it was...
I know, you'd be quite... Are you vaccinated yourself?
I would, yes, I am doubly vaccinated.
Okay, and there should be some consideration to that. And also, it could be possible, if, you know, if they really wanted to, they could do an antigen test and you'd be happy to do that if you had to go into the hospital to visit her and wear a mask, etc.
I mean, it's very frustrating, as I say. I'm only half a mile or so up the road from her.
I mean, well, hang on for a second. Let me just go back to Richard if I can. Richard, are you still there?
Yes.
I mean, when you listen to, and gosh, I hope Tommy's wife gets better and makes a recovery to some degree anyway. I know she's going to have some lifelong problems there. But, I mean, when you hear Tommy can't even go to the hospital to visit his wife. Now, I know they're two completely different things. But when we look at these and compare these situations, and, you know, you have a politician who's making the rules saying that he can't do that. And I know there's hospital policy involved as well, but generally making the rules. And, you know, and they're off having a party. I mean, you'd understand why people are angry.
Yeah, I empathise with Tommy. I mean, my own wife actually passed away about 5 years ago.
I'm sorry
cancer,
to hear that.
So I've been through it. So I certainly hear what he's saying. But I just see there's a difference, though, between a hospital setting where you're trying to protect people, both the, you know, terminally ill and vulnerable and visitors, etc., and then, you know, an event outdoors of 50 people where people are socially distanced at the Meridian Hotel, you know? I just see it as two completely different
things. No, they are, and you are right. They're two completely different settings. But I do understand then how people or why people get angry. Because there seems to be a lack of compassion. And I'm sorry you had to hear about your wife dying of cancer. And I'm sure at the time, I would like to think you were with her quite a lot of the time towards the end.
It was pre-COVID, yeah.
So you would have been with her. I mean, hopefully nothing like that is going to happen to Tommy's wife and she makes a recovery. But in saying that, he wants to be with his wife too. And she's going through a very serious illness.
If I might say, I don't, that chap on the phone there, which I don't think anything you're going to say to him is going to make him change his mind. He seems to be very pro-government at that, in my opinion.
I don't think he's being pro-government. I think he's just saying that we need to be realistic, Tommy. And I suppose the point is that we're human beings and we make mistakes and we don't always get it right.
And I
do accept that, but I don't accept it. And I have to say, you know, with the greatest of respect, Richard, I don't accept it from Leo Varadkar, because he's the very one who demanded everybody else resign when the same thing happened in Golfgate last year. Exactly the same situation, more or less.
What he did wrong here. It's just not clear to me what he's done wrong. He hasn't done anything illegal or immoral. He hasn't done anything
That depends on your interpretation of the guidelines.
Look what happened across the water there a couple of weeks back. Didn't some minister have to resign over there?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name.
Many of them have, Tommy. Many of them have. I'm not too sure which one you'll be talking about.
I'll tell you one thing about them. When they're found out, they walk.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.